Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast.
That was a good one. That was a really good one.
Thank you. Thank you.
It came from the throat.
It did. I didn't quite hit it from the diaphragm, but that's fine. I didn't want to blow out the mic because these pipes can do damage.
Do you feel you're getting better and better at these over time?
I do. I can whip, like, I feel like I can just, like, put one of these down anytime, any place with absolute precision. That's right. This pro business. Because we are, as you know, the internet's only
business podcast.
College football podcast.
The business of college football.
Enron.
Vision.
Are we far enough into the show where we think people we work for have stopped listening?
Yes, we're in the clear.
Okay, good. Because did y'all notice that in Spotify in our last episode, we had an ad for a podcast about WeWork? And it was not about WeWork going down in flames. Like, it was a WeWork-sponsored podcast.
Maybe. Let's see if we can get sponsored by an even more problematic business while we're on this issue of the podcast,
hey,
right?
Papa John's on a media tour.
Speaking of being sponsored by problematic businesses, today we're talking about War Bowls.
Woo!
But yeah. first, let's do some podcast business.
Podcast business. What's that business? It's that business. What's that business? Podcast business. And a bad soundboard. Thank you.
Let's sell some hats.
Hats!
Hat time!
Hat time!
Cap time!
I can't really recommend any hat more on the planet than the Cowbucker 25 Snakes hat.
Both cats are in this room, and the cat who's not the full cat is giving me the worst fucking look right now.
Right, you know why? Because
so angry.
Because you haven't bought this cat a 25 Snakes Shutdown Fullcast hat from cowbucker.com. Jason? As somebody who wears hats, 25 Snakes, that's the fly one, right?
That's, like, I mean, that's good. That's got to be about the most snakes you could possibly put on your head at one time. Mm. I can't. I mean, just structural integrity wise, it's significantly more than that, and you're going to be collapsing your entire skull. Mm. And if fewer than that, and are you really even wearing any snakes at all?
Mm. That's, and by the way, Jason did say that's about as many snakes as you can get on your head. I absolve myself and the rest of this podcast from any liability for anyone going 25. I'll leave that in the dust.
Medusa ain't shit.
She was half stepping. That's a mere hairpiece compared
Medusa
to what
Medusa was defending herself, and castle doctrine, the lack of castle doctrine is why Greek civilization fell.
What did you do? So I had an intruder, so I grabbed his snake and chased him with it.
So I mean, that shot seems that some bitch a look.
Yeah.
He froze in his tracks.
So then he escaped? Or no, he froze in his tracks.
No, he's still right there.
He's still right there. Looks surprised, don't he? They always do. Hey, I'm talking to you and looking at, dang it.
Whole dang living it. Room full of intruders.
Living room full of cops just looking surprised.
One after the other, barreling through the door.
One UPS guy.
What the fuck? Why am I in the mix of all this?
I know. Greek myths are so messed up that just think about Medusa's poor social life. Do you want to FaceTime? No.
Face for all time.
Yeah. Can we keep this to a text-based relationship? Yes. Like, her whole life was Zorg. She could only have text-based relationships.
Medusa was incredibly online, and for that, I respect her.
Yeah, same. This is the war episode of the Shutdown Fullcast. The 40 for 40.
I mean, the Michigan live show was the war episode.
That's true. And gotta admit, we would actually make this a more legitimate podcast by having a Michigan presence. Y'all are gonna have to take my two Michigan-based tattoos as the closest thing we have to a true representative of our most dad war book alumni base.
Yeah, I mean, we have a Wolverine and a Block M in the room.
Yeah, that's fine. And people who I think have each respectively read a number of, like, burly volumes detailing troop movements on the Eastern Front. Is that true?
Mm. I'm trying to think of my most Michigan tattoo.
It's not Korg because he's too free-spirited.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the peach.
Is it possible?
There's a really pissed-off owl.
I was going to say, the owl has a very stern look. It might be that one.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, you have...
Owls are wise, like Michigan fans.
Yes. Mm. And also like...
Stern.
Also like Michigan fans, have to turn their head to see things. Can't actually move their eyes. Mm.
This is canon. Michigan fans don't have necks.
They have
to turn their entire upper bodies like droids. Like C-3PO. Yeah. Michigan fans do have deep C-3PO energy, don't they?
They do.
Oh, wow. You know how he shows up at the end of the good Star Wars movie that Rian Johnson made? And he goes, "It is I, C-3PO. You probably didn't recognize me because of the red arm." Oh, no, because that didn't happen. That happened during JJ's movie.
That's
interesting. Please do not share your Star Wars opinions with me. Don't do it.
This does also, by the way, make Michigan State Boba Fett because they wear... They wear a green helmet.
Sir, the only Boba I recognize is T.
They sound really, really cool in theory. And then when the big moment comes, they fall into the pit of a sarlacc and disappear for 100 years.
If Michigan is C-3PO, then Ohio State is R2-D2 because vastly superior.
Yep.
Deeply focused on the task at hand. No philosophizing. No linguistics. Just do the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And constantly ever present. Just always there. Hey, wouldn't you like to see a scene with R2-D2? There was no R2-D2 in that scene. That was why it sucked. Here he is, though. Isn't it better now?
How about now? Hey, where are you going?
Hey, look, it's R2-D2.
Also, I suspect that, like Ohio State fans, R2-D2, if you notice his dialogue throughout the movies,
R2-D2.
Probably always saying the uncomfortable, slightly un-PC.
R2-D2 is absolutely the "I'm not a racist, but" of the Star Wars canon group.
He's "Why can't I say it?" That's the R2.
There's a reason everything he says is bleeped.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And notice, whenever R2-D2 says anything, at least one person in the room reacts like, "God, that's out of pocket."
Yeah, like, what the fuck, dude?
Good Lord. Yeah. He's probably, R2-D2 is probably dropping like 18th century insults on people, right? Like, Spaniard.
Yeah, he's definitely called someone an Oriental.
Yeah.
And hinted as a slur.
Yeah, like even Han.
It's incredibly polite to say anyway, but
yeah, even Han Solo is like, "Jesus, dude."
Yeah, Chewbacca's like, "Wow."
R2-D2 has like Bobby Bowden's vocabulary.
I see Chewbacca as being like extremely aware of his surroundings in that respect, right?
But also, Chewbacca's the kid who goes to South America for study abroad and comes back and won't shut the fuck up about yerba mate.
Can I make you a caipirinha?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. That guy. I've been listening to a lot of Bossa Nova. They don't even last. Except it comes up.
You lived in a dorm.
Yeah.
Shut up about the favelas.
I have solidarity with the people.
You found the first Panera Bread you could find.
You know what gives this away?
Do they even have Panera Breads in Brazil? I don't know.
It's called a Panera.
Panera.
Oh, no. That is kind of a Latin-sounding word.
What gives this away is
We're going to get some emails. Our boss's name is Ryan Nanny.
Yep.
You can reach him at ryan.nanny at stephengodfrey.com.
Yeah. The other thing that gives this away for Chewbacca is that he has a sash and a crossbow. And did you ever know anybody with a ammo sash and crossbow?
It's not a sash. It's a bandolier.
That's a sash.
That's a bandolier.
No, a bandolier. Like, if he were doing...
So what weapons are on that thing? Like, what does he ever use it for?
Snacks. It's just filled with...
Okay, like, have you ever seen him pull anything off of it and use it?
No, and he's got a crossbow. Like, what person with a crossbow...
He's not a person!
Of course he's a person.
Okay. Chewbacca are people, too. The Chewbaccas.
The noble like Chewbacca forgot, people.
It's like you forgot Yoda's classic line from the prequels, good relations with the Wookiees I have.
Yeah, Yoda's people.
Yeah, see? Yoda's definitely people.
Too.
But yeah, I don't know. If I tell you like tall, kind of incoherent guy with a crossbow and a bandolier filled with snacks, you're like, oh, it's that tall dork who played like from my D&D group in high school, right?
Yeah.
Later went through a goth phase.
His whole family lives in hammocks.
Yeah, come on.
What is in your snack bandolier? You have 5 pockets.
So I've got Bucky's Beaver Nuggets in one.
Ooh, that's a strong pull.
Yeah, I've got some...
Your bandolier's going to get real sticky, though, and those are going to run out real fast in pocket form.
I mean, think about where you're going in Star Wars anyway. That's a dirty universe. Got some Jack Link's beef jerky.
Okay.
The little nuggets, I've got some of those because I think they would fit in those really well.
That's going to be weird, though, because if you're a Wookiee, you're going to be confused for Sasquatches a lot.
Mm.
That's fine. I want to encourage that because... I want to get instant power over somebody by going, oh, we all look alike? Huh?
Sure.
Yeah.
Good relations with the Sasquatches you have.
Uh-huh. You want to call me Sasquatch one more time? Don't make me get out my Renfair crossbow. And then I would have some Sour Patch Kids. I would have some dried pork because Chewbacca never stopped eating them. Mm. I know they were like... Don't eat us. No, he was devouring them. Just behind their backs.
Handfuls
right?
of them.
Yeah, exactly. He was just taking the porks that those other porks wanted dead, right? He was saying, all right, listen, tell me who the asshole porks are, and I'm going to clean them out for you.
Just downing porks like cheese puffs.
Yeah, because he's like, daddy, listen, man, daddy needs some protein.
Porks are kind of Bucky's nugget
just shaped. A big old bowl full of porks by the spoonful.
Yeah, yeah, because you know what? He wasn't. He's you know, like, I think he's lactose intolerant, so he wasn't going to drink that weird, like, space dinosaur milk that Luke was surviving off of. Chewie wasn't pulling that. He was like,
you were going to bring this around to Martin County Luke Skywalker.
God.
So what was the moment like when we discovered Chewie is lactose intolerant?
I think it involved being in close quarters in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that thing,
right?
You can't ventilate a ship in space, right?
So yeah. Han is sitting next to this thing, and it just starts shitting everywhere.
Yeah, or farting. I'm just thinking, like, even if it wasn't...
wet farts.
I'm thinking just real scorchers, right?
Yeah. This enormous mountain of hair.
Right.
Oh, man, but that means the smell's going to get trapped in it, too.
Right. There was nowhere to go.
And, like, all your clothes are leather, so once that scent sinks in, it's not coming out.
Yeah, that's why Obi-Wan's always in the back in the first one, right? He sort of pops his head into the cockpit at times, but otherwise, he's in the back, man.
I love that, like, once Leia finally gets on this ship, she's like, holy fuck, these animals have been... like, finally a grown-up is here, and... Oh, you hate it for her.
Meanwhile, Chewbacca's like, I can't stop eating this Activia in the fridge. I know, it just gives me the worst gas, but damn, this fiber doesn't work wonders on me.
Chewbacca was an angry gamer. Remember when he was super pissed about Monster Chess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. He had an angry gamer moment. He had to make an apology video.
Chewbacca has really lame, violent opinions about The Last Jedi.
Chewbacca's so pissed about Captain Marvel.
One star. His big, fat, stupid, furry fingers accidentally give it 2, and he's like, no! Damn you, iPad! Dad, give me my computer back! Oh, they'll make such fun of me on my boards. Yeah, this is naturally, I think, a great segue to discussing the next batch of 40 for 40 bowls, which I think we decided that the unifying theme between all of these is war. And like, we're only kind of half joking, right?
There's a fucking lot of college football that is about war. We have three colleges that produce war. We have multiple bowl games sponsored by war.
Yep. We have
some named after kind of war adjacent stuff. It's a violent ass sport, man.
Michigan State's in a bowl game sometimes.
Sometimes. As little as possible, ideally, aesthetically speaking.
I mean, it is a sport where there are three service academies fielding first-ranked teams, right?
At the moment, too. But yes, Army also has a football team.
Yes. But I mean, first-ranked in that they are FBS.
Yes, yes, yes.
They are first-division teams that are associated with the state-funded colleges where we train people to, in the words of a shirt I saw in an Annapolis grad once, visit exotic countries and kill everyone in them. Right?
All right.
Yeah. By the way, I don't have that t-shirt, but I'll find it.
Oh, yeah. There were a bunch of those in my high school.
Yeah, there's some bad ones.
The join the army, visit the world, meet new people and kill them.
It's a little disconcerting to see it on the people who are actually in that academy. You go like, yeah. Oh, that's serious. And they're like, yeah,
that was
here.
A very ROTC shirt in my high school.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when it absolutely has to be destroyed overnight, send the Marines. And you go, ha ha. Oh, wait, that's real. Oh, yep. God.
Yep.
Oh, God. So, yeah, there are a number of these. We have decided in true military fashion to have a draft.
So we,
Ryan,
this one
is not here.
Ryan has dodged our draft. He also will not be present on our NFL draft episode. Just dodges all drafts.
He doesn't have bone spurs, though, because he actually has no bones. Not a lot of people know this about Ryan. He is a cartilaginous fish that walks upright.
Like Grimace?
No, like a shark, but with legs.
You know? Okay. Cool. That's pretty cool.
I was thinking more like a starfish.
Well, I didn't make Ryan, so...
And I
take
did.
It up with someone else.
I did.
Diabolical. Twisted from the twisted mind of Spencer Hall.
If you cut off Ryan's arm, it grows back.
Man, you can't even keep a sourdough starter alive. No wonder he's so sad.
So Holly, you we did have a random order draft on this.
Because that's how the military works. I press the randomizer button, and each of us has been assigned two of this year's militaristic bowl games, and I think we will try and assess them as military entities. Holly, how do you feel about going first here?
I would love to go first, boys, and I would love to go first with the origins of America, the Liberty Bowl, which, as we all know, began life in Philadelphia because... a bunch of guys from Atlantic City wanted money, and Philadelphia had a bell. Philadelphia was also America's first city. It's a city that's been on our minds recently over the past couple
Move
of weeks.
Move closer
you say?
To your world. Take a little bit of time, my friend. The action news theme?
When people say we're insular, this is what they mean.
That's true. That's true. Too many internet references.
Do you want to explain to the people listening what you're singing?
I am singing the theme to Philly's legendary action newscast, which is also the theme for an infamous or famous Philadelphia highlight reel of Philly things happening, including an electrical plant exploding while a guy in an Elmo suit is breaking it down next to it. A soap factory, I think, at one point exploding, multiple incidents of freakish or humorous or both assault, greased poles, and of course, filthy pretzels being sold on the sidewalk, handled by men spitting on their hands and then throwing them into nearby passing cars. Basically, like Wawa greatness.
It also sounds kind of like what it would have been like to have been one of George Washington's troops at Valley Forge.
Yes.
especially considering that this game is now played in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, surpassed only by Legion Field in this nation in crumbliness, which is always something I'm looking for in an athletic venue.
I like my stadium to be like a good shortbread.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about the structural integrity of the stadium itself once it intakes the cruise missiles of Navy who are coming in to play Kansas State. Oh, Kansas State might have somebody just hit an end zone wall and leave like a Roger Rabbit shaped hole in the wall.
Just get that 260-pound fullback out there.
Yeah. I mean, Ram Vila is no longer on Navy's team, so I'm not worried about a player launching himself headfirst through the wall.
Yeah.
Like a missile being launched from an aircraft carrier.
Is Memphis the Southern Philly?
Whoa.
Hmm.
Yeah?
State your case.
This is less a case and more of an exploratory question. A demand for more research is what I think.
Is it would be active enough to be Southern Philly?
Yeah, that's the thing. Mm.
It's like Southern Philly with carbon monoxide poisoning.
I feel like the Southern Philly has
like
got to be
mild carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
It's a very chill Philly.
Memphis does feel like a place where you could get carbon monoxide poisoning outside, though.
Would anyone in Memphis make a pool out of a dumpster? Hmm.
That's just too much work for Memphis.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it being active enough.
This all sounds more like Jacksonville to me.
Is Memphis Philly with mono?
I think Memphis is like the Southern Cleveland.
Hmm. Again, this is really more of a demand for further research, right?
Yep, let's go to Memphis.
All right.
Done, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Going to Memphis. Yeah, this is by the way, the matchup between two teams which I think have, you know, complementary strengths and weaknesses. The one thing I know that you're going to get out of this that both teams 100% agree on is that the entire game should be about 2 hours and 57 minutes long, because both teams like to run the ball. So clock's going to be moving, y'all. Get those ads in fast. All of those lucrative Liberty Bowl ads.
Good Lord.
Who's our sponsor for this game?
The Liberty Bowl? Is it still AutoZone?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
They have the best chicken sandwich.
You know, that actually bumps up the militaristic readiness of Navy in my estimations. I was about to kind of rank this this is only really only gaining entry onto our list due to the presence of Navy, because structurally I don't feel like Memphis is ready to handle a major naval battle.
No, not one bit. I don't feel like Kansas.
Although it would be dope as hell to see Navy take over a riverboat.
Kansas State may be one of the teams least equipped to deal with the naval battle.
Right.
Why do you say that?
What the fuck is happening?
I think I read once that Paraguay has something like 3 admirals. Paraguay is a landlocked country. Yeah,
the Threadmirals.
Yeah, so like that's sort of where I see Manhattan,
Admiral
Kansas.
Thrawn, he was from Paraguay.
Paraguay,
back to Star Wars.
The Paraguay of the United States is Kansas, in many ways, and its highest point is Manhattan. Like, there's not like you cannot be farther from water. I'm just gonna say this. I think scientifically, you can't be farther from like large bodies of open water than Manhattan, Kansas. So advantage Navy by simply being close to a river.
I don't feel like, to be fair, I'm a little bit concerned that Kansas is not going to be prepared for this battle, no matter whether it takes place on land, air, or sea, but specifically on the ground. And when you're from Kansas and you're worried about your experience with the ground, like, what else you got going for you? Anyway, you may know, if you're a stat head like we are, that the top, I love it when they do this, the top 3 finishers this year nationally in rushing offense were Navy, Army, and Air Force. In that order. I love it when they do that. It's adorable. Who would like to guess where Kansas State ranks nationally in rushing defense? Let's do a good stat. Attempts per, or yards per attempt.
yards per attempt. I can't remember
per attempt.
I can't remember if Kansas State was one of those teams that got run all over or passed all over. So I'm going to guess that they are 58th in the nation.
Oh, my sweet summer bear.
Oh boy.
Oh no. Navy currently averaging, by the way, 6.07 yards per carry.
Sure.
And leading the nation in the meaningless-ish but still funny stat of yards per game at 363 2/3
okay.
yards per game. Army is next. Army's at 297, and they played one more game.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm vamping because I was scrolling down this list to make sure I was right. Kansas State is 106th. In rushing defense,
okay.
In yards per
attempt. Is that bad? How many teams are there?
Allowing 130. They okay. are allowing
like 1,000 teams.
They are allowing close to 4.9, close to 5 yards per carry. Anyway, I imagine Navy will have something to say about that. They are surrounded by above them is Rutgers. They are worse than Rutgers at rushing defense. Slightly above Syracuse. Jeez, Dino. And 2 slots above Kansas.
Just looking here, I can't help but note Kansas State gave up 6.5 yards per carry to Nicholls State.
That's interesting.
That's more than a nickel per carry.
That's not what you want to do.
No. In my opinion, that is not a strategy that will win against Navy.
So, Malcolm Perry, if you didn't notice, by the way, Jesus.
Can we talk about how Malcolm Perry was disrespected on that broadcast? Because I'm still angry.
So, you know, in Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow, right?
Everyone knows this, yes.
The movie with two names, yeah.
The greatest movie never made.
When the soldier takes the field and everyone's like, the Valkyrie, right? Like the Avenger, like the great goddess of death. That's what Malcolm Perry is, because I don't know if you've watched him. Dude has 1,800 rushing yards on the year. 1,800. Hmm. 18. As a quarterback out of the triple option. Hmm. Yeah. That's bonkers. Like, low-key, one of the most devastating statistical seasons in profile of any player I can remember. For his system, like, I was trying to think of the equivalent of that. Would it be something like like, we're talking like a 4,000-yard passer in terms of total impact.
Oh, yeah, you're talking like a 5,000-yard air raid guy.
Yeah, like, this is like B.J. Simmons, right?
Yeah,
and
definitely.
They kept calling Roger Staubach the greatest player in Navy history while Keenan Reynolds still walks this earth, and Malcolm Perry is on the field right there! He's right there! Gary.
What was Roger Staubach's 40 time?
I've been mad about this for days.
Please.
Anyway, next up in the draft, Jason with the, it's going to be hard to top the militarism of this one because it's the Armed Forces Bowl featuring the militia units of Southern Miss and Tulane. You know, Hattiesburg and New Orleans are two cities that I think if they wanted to could whip up quality militias.
Okay, this one was mine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was extendedly throwing it to you.
Yeah, I gotcha. So this one, I really, really, really like our defensive tanking potential because, first of all, we're literally in a town called Fort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I was reading about the history of Fort Worth, and yep, there was a Fort Worth. They built a town around it. That's it. I like Carter Stadium. I like the defensible factor of Carter Stadium. Semi-closed bowl, surrounded by planes, good vantage points. I'm a little worried about the south end zone. There's a basketball gym there, so we need to think about how to divert resources to it, and no one should ever have to think about TCU basketball. Our teams here are Tulane, which brings an above-average FBS defense and some medics. Originally a medical school, still one of the best medical schools. And Southern Miss, better at defense than offense on the football field, and their claim to fame academically is materials engineering, so they're going to provide body armor. We have health kits and body armor. We are basically a video game character who is going to just live forever. My concern with our group here is we are not going to actually do any damage because we are sponsored by Lockheed Martin, which has done nothing for the last 25 years but get paid zillions upon zillions of dollars to produce the F-35, which is a plane that is pretty fucking awesome when it works, but, gigantic but, has been a massive boondoggle, to use a word that is used in no other context but this one.
Can I take this on a short walk around the block here, Jason?
One brief moment of hilarity, which is I opened my mouth to start a sentence with "we" because that's how long I've grown up in the military industrial complex. I almost said "we" like Lockheed was my football team. To say we also make missiles.
yeah, they make other stuff, but I think the thing is with the armed forces' bowl budget, you know, we're gonna be able to afford like 1% of an F-35, and that's it.
Oh, also Lockheed Martin said the F-35 can identify and destroy cruise missiles like 2 days ago.
I'm going to walk this around the block and just suggest this. So you're saying that it is an overpriced product, right?
Sure.
That has gone well over budget with disappointing and diminishing returns for a weapon and a type of weapon that will ultimately be replaced by something else and may already, in fact, be obsolete, and it doesn't work too well in the rain.
Right.
I'm picking it up.
How is this not Notre Dame football?
There it is. Bring it on home.
There we go.
Also, it has fancy paint that if you try too hard, it ruins the fancy paint. That's like true. Notre Dame football. Yeah. This is true. If you go too fast, it ruins the magic stealth paint.
I would also point out, by the way, they've made the F-35 and they've got everybody on the hook for this. Meanwhile, they may already be flying the SR-72, which goes Mach 5? Yeah. And has a manned version in theory? Yeah. Why don't we just buy a bunch of that? Because it's awesome.
It costs double per hour to fly the F-35 that it did to fly the 41-year-old, perfectly good F-18. And guess what? We're not doing fucking Top Gun shit. We're not doing dogfighting. Well, sorry. In my own personal time, obviously, I am dogfighting Russians as a hobby. But like we don't need to have fucking X-Wings. We just bomb stuff. We don't do dogfighting anymore.
I love that your most dad... Like, the most dad aspect of your personality is when you're making Defense Department budget decisions, right? You're like, I can get you in this used F-18.
The F-16 still rules.
I can get you in this used F-16, low mileage.
I'm on the used plane lot, slapping the hood of the F-16. This baby will deliver the payload. It's got some creaks. It doesn't have virtual reality headsets. It will not do stealth. It won't do a fucking goddamn stealth thing. You will be visible to everyone on Earth. And you know what? You want them to see you coming, right? You ain't hiding from shit.
The actual green showroom stickers on it, right?
You turn this plane on, everyone on Earth knows where you are. That's what we're talking about.
Look, it even has an aux cord.
Yeah. Up to date technology. And you know what? The F-35, if you have a goddamn software issue, guess what? You're falling out of the sky because the whole thing's a flying computer. F-16, not a damn computer in it. Whole thing's powered by steam.
Not the gaming platform either, son.
No, we don't play games here in the F-16. Just crank it by hand. You're up there on a tread. It's like the Fred Flintstone of planes.
Hell, listen, for the trainees, let's just get them an F-4s, buddy.
Shit, why not? The F-35, man. They're like, we need a plane that does everything. It needs to fly straight up. What the fuck, man? Get a helicopter.
It's completely the Pontiac Aztec of planes, right? Like, let's put a tent on the back of it. Give it four-wheel drive. Let's have 5,000 people design it.
Yeah.
Walter White's going to be flying an F-35 in the next iteration of Breaking Bad. I didn't die. I just got a shitty, expensive plane. So who's next on our draft?
It's you, buddy.
Next is you, I believe.
Are you telling me you forgot the Alamo?
Never!
Bowl?
Never! I have to say, by the way, before I estimate the voluble military potential of the Alamo Bowl. It's good. So, the Alamo Bowl...
No, you have to do me dying in a hail of musket fire.
What? You want me to, like, do it?
We're gonna get so many emails.
I know. The Alamo Bowl, before we even get into its estimable military heritage and voluble strategic power.
Great save.
Oh, God. It's very late. The Alamo Bowl is deeply underrated. Like, if you have not been to this bowl game, it's fun as hell. San Antonio, food's good. Everybody who goes there, typically their team has, like, either got off to a slow start and rebounded or is generally, like, just happy to be there because...
It's also played in a derelict stadium that we actually like.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that whole arena is just big... cavernous. It's everything you want. It's everything you would want a kind of like underutilized Texan stadium to be.
I like any bowl played in an arena.
They have stopped returning my phone calls, but I hold on to my dream of being able to buy the Alamo Dome and turn it into a Christian laser tag arena.
It may already be that for all we know, right? Half the year.
How dare you, honestly.
But yeah,
shit on my dream.
An extremely fun bowl game. If you have not been there, I got to hang out with Thurman Thomas at the Alamo Bowl, which Thurman Thomas, an extremely, extremely interesting dude for reasons that I cannot discuss on this podcast, but fascinating guy.
Well, at least we're done being insular.
Did you
fight Thurman Thomas or something?
No.
Yeah, don't be a coy bitch. What's happening?
Thurman enjoys his evenings out from time to time. He is an extremely...
God, you sound like Godfrey.
Well, good for him.
He is. He's a festive man.
So you tore up San Antonio with Thurman Thomas.
No, but I think I saw the vapor trail of a night out with Thurman Thomas and several different people.
So he's avoiding the harmful effects of tar and cigarettes?
Yes. He's vaping. That's vaping. Vaping so very hard. Also, Oklahoma State boosters. Oklahoma State boosters go hard. They go...
Okay, how long ago was this? Because Thurman Thomas was like 50, and I need to know how badly he waxed you.
Thurman Thomas, this wasn't that long ago. I think this was like 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, this is, first of all, the Alamo. We already have our redoubt. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. The history of the Alamo as a fallback defensive stronghold, not real great.
No? Not
great. No. Pretty much 0-1. Big, big 0-4. So, I'm not going to rely...
Yeah, every team is... and every team goes into the second half like a whole new game.
You know,
not gonna lie, they had us in the first half.
God damn it, I was trying to get there and I couldn't.
So I'm not feeling really strong about this as a defensive game. So
you made their ass quit.
Yeah. Additional.
And then Sam Houston sits down and he goes, "You think we're gonna get in trouble?"
So I'm not feeling really good about playing this as a defensive matchup. Unfortunately, that's really my only choice because guess who brought boulders to a rock fight? Utah and Texas.
surely the Texas offense can bail you out here.
Starting quarterback, Boulder McBoulderson, Sam Ehlinger, and Utah, the entire Utah team, just a bunch of Korgs. Just people made of rocks, all of them. So this, what will assuredly be like, God, does this feel like a 17-11 game?
Shit, yes.
Yeah. Like,
and I assume you mean the year.
Yes. I mean, two teams that will literally just walk towards each other, volleying objects at each other in a sportsmanlike fashion.
Kicking a fucking skull at each other.
Yeah. Punt. No, you punt. No, you punt. Yeah, if these teams could just headbutt for the trophy and get it over with in 10 minutes, they'd probably do that if you let them. So, post-apocalyptic rock fight in the middle of West Texas. Yeah. Yeah, that's where we're at. This is starting as some kind of Texas Heritage Alamo remembrance, but it finishes with some serious Mad Max vibes. And I like it, but you got to know what this is. It's the future of warfare. It's postmodern warfare where things are going to be very lo-fi and very hi-fi all at the same time. And by hi-fi, I mean we have digital cameras that can catch Tom Herman flicking off and shooting the double birds to the entire Longhorn Network audience on signing day.
We have a whole channel just for that. There's a whole channel called the Longhorn Network. And this dude didn't know he was on TV.
If you were the Texas coach, you would just assume you were being filmed when you were at like HEB, right?
Yeah, it's not like he's the coach of Clemson or Washington or whatever. It's like, I don't know, they might be talking about somebody else. No, they have nothing to do but look at you all day long.
Yeah, and that's all they got. They got to fill hours, man.
That's the only thing anyone remembers from Texas's entire signing day.
Yeah, I just like, I would imagine that you'd go home and you'd probably start making love to your wife, and all of a sudden you'd just hear like commentary. Right?
Sack time.
He's got it.
Jack time.
Just Emmanuel Acho on like a remote camera going, it's just excellent work. Texas is back.
I like
Get out of my room, Pat McAfee.
I liked his signing day presser when he started. I think Seth Galina was the first to make the joke on Twitter that when Tom Herman said, I'd like to apologize for the things you saw on TV, it's, oh, you're talking about your football season?
Oh, but you do. I really encourage you to if you can't go to this game, and it is, you know, if you're in the San Antonio area, take a flyer on it. It's an extremely good hang. Zach Moss. Watch it for Zach Moss. I watch it for Utah. I love watching Utah football because it's people trying real, real, real hard at all times and just trying to, like, they're the people who think if you, like, Utah, if I said, what kind of football team is Utah under Kyle Whittingham and has been under Kyle Whittingham? It's this. It's the person who believes if they hit the elevator button hard, it'll get to that floor faster, right? Eight! Hit it hard.
Also, you have, I think, the two teams, at least within the Power Five, that most typify wasted talent and maximized talent. like you look on signing day and you see Utah at 80 and you're like, perfect. They're fine. You look at Texas and if they're below 2, you're like, oh, they're fucked.
Yeah. Texas is the Carmelo Anthony, right? And Utah is the Tony Allen, where you go, man, you're awesome. And you cannot be better than this. This is as good as you could possibly be.
Also, the Alamo Bowl has many colorful balloons that they release.
That's true. That's true. So, don't forget.
Do they do them indoors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
They so do. That'll be a brief burst of joy at the end of this brutalist football game.
Didn't the Chick-fil-A Bowl do that one year before the Georgia Dome got torn down? Oh, no, they shot off fireworks inside.
Yeah, they did.
And it was smart. Really stupid.
They did. Holly, I believe you are up next.
We got a little bit of stolen valor here, folks. We're headed to the Independence Bowl, so named because it was first played the year of the Bicentennial. And they act like this makes it extra, extra, extra American. And I mean, Luke Bryan and Blake Shelton were also born the year of the Bicentennial. So don't be too proud of that.
So was Spencer.
See?
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
My name was going to be Independence Hall.
No.
Yeah. If I had landed. No. If I had landed on the fourth, that was on the table.
Oh, thank God you were a procrastinator even in the womb.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have made it out of middle school.
We should call you America Hall.
Indy Hall.
It wouldn't have been cool until.
What was your middle name going to be?
Oh, heaven knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pick a middle name for Spencer that's suitable for the year of the bicentennial.
Independence Allman Brothers Hall.
Independence Betsy Ross Hall.
Independence Jimmy. Independence Billy Carter Hall.
Independence Epcot Center Hall.
Declaration Hall.
Independence MASH, a television series hall.
I was just gonna do Independence John Adams, the miniseries hall.
Damn it.
The HBO television event.
Independence Cats Hall.
Louisiana Tech is playing this game, which is fairly uninteresting because it's basically a home game for them, the Independence Bowl, also known to longtime listeners of this program for getting us hate mail from Kevin Costner stands. Way back when it was the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl. And I think we made fun of Kevin Costner for having a vacation house in Shreveport because it's a terrible place.
Oh, yeah. I think I got like Tim Brando mad at us over this.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful. Anyway, I don't think there is going to be much of an issue deciding which side of this team is more American because the team coming in is Louisiana Tech and they are coached by a guy named Skip for the moment, and their colors are red, white, and blue. However, the other team is the Miami Hurricanes.
Who?
Boys, show up in camo. Make us proud.
Yeah.
I mean, to be clear, I'm not saying Miami's going to win this game. I'm just saying they're going to be more American.
It's after you lose to Florida International, all bets are kind of off, right?
After you get throat slashed by Florida International's kicker on an extra point that was not of any special significance.
Yeah, I don't feel good about Miami's record in general against
like
non-standard designation state-affiliated teams at this point.
Like, I like Manny. Right? He has a whole bunch. He is setting himself up to get big-timed by Skip Holtz.
Skip Holtz!
Yikes, man.
Yeah, it's not a good pull. It's going to be a Louisiana heavy crowd, right?
I'm sure that they will. I think Ryan said this a couple of weeks ago. The really funny thing about being Miami is you can't say shit to other fans when they're mean to you.
No, no. But
like, what are they supposed to do? Like, pardon me, sir.
What about sportsmanship?
What would you do if a Miami fan said something like, oh, they were so unclassy?
I want to talk to Miami fans who are going because I just cannot imagine somebody going, yeah, I don't know. Let's go to Shreveport. This is a tough road trip to book, too.
Somebody's like fired up about it.
Oh, God. Yeah, you have to. You can't. What's the closest airport? Jackson?
If you're a Miami fan going to this game, tweet us or Reddit us or email us, please.
I want to talk to you. I want to know how this whole process went because Shreveport jacks up every single hotel room in the place.
Mm-hmm. I mean, technically, Shreveport has an airport.
Yeah, but like,
I have never flown into
that. No, it has a Shreveport.
That's, yeah. Park your Shreves.
Where can I put my Shreve?
We forget about Bossier City. I could see Rick Ross showing up and being like, it's got boss in the name.
Bossier City has one really, really amazing piano bar, like straight out of Cocktail.
Yeah.
Or it did the last time I was there, which is also the last time I'll ever be there. But they basically serve you wine in fish bowls.
Okay. They better. Yeah, they better.
I can find it.
Those fishes are drunk as shit.
I just swallowed a beta.
World's happiest fish.
Yeah.
It's Two John's Steak and Seafood.
Wow.
I don't know why it's called that.
Probably because they have a backup John in case he gets too drunk off of drinking fish bowls of wine.
I remember I was there with the lady who was sideline reporting for ESPN that night, and who I will leave out of this story because we absolutely put our faces in fish bowls full of wine. There's also a dueling pianos in Bossier City. I do not want to act like I'm encouraging you to go to Bossier City. We should have had Bo on for the show.
I assume in Bossier City.
Remind folks what his dad said about it.
I assume in Bossier City, if you got dueling pianos, that means they are actually shooting
at
each
other. Please look at the face of this man in the dueling pianos thing. That is Joker 2019 with his makeup scrubbed off.
Jesus. Why so serious, Jethro? God.
Jason, I'm going to send you this photo from Bossier City dueling pianos.
By the way, like Shreveport, the entire Independence Bowl, indefensible from a defensive perspective.
Wow, this is a...
That's an amazing photo.
Yeah, this really does look like the Joker.
Yeah.
Like the Irish Joker.
He's even like a ginger, yeah.
The Joker with...
Also, why is there only one guy? It's dueling pianos. Is this guy like taking on all comers? Is this a piano combat bar?
Listen,
did we invent this?
He's killed everyone who's tried.
He's the last pianist.
Like... pistol dueling pianos. Okay.
They said dueling pianos, not sparring pianos. Mm. Right? Somebody's going down.
Pianos at dawn.
I have the next bowl game, and I am thrilled to bring you the good news, which is that the Cheez-It Bowl still loves you.
Here's the thing. You don't have the Cheez-It Bowl.
I don't?
It's listed under his name.
No.
I know what happened. Really funny.
I want
to tell them what just happened because it's amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is that Jason typed the word
me,
meaning Jason, and Spencer just reads the word me and automatically thinks that it
is it possible
himself.
That Spencer and I are the same person?
Well, no, because two lines later it says Spencer.
Never mind. So, Jason, aka me, why don't you tell us about the Cheez-It Bowl?
Spencer, are you future me?
Yes.
Oh, Jason, you have made some bad choices.
No, and there and many more to come, evidently.
Sodium count.
Now, Spencer, did you prepare notes on the Cheez-It Bowl by chance?
Of course he didn't.
Oh, no, I did. And that's the problem. So why don't you go ahead and
that's fine. I will welcome your notes in addition to mine. So my military situation is dire because all of my financial investments are tied up in the F-35. However, I have also drawn the Cheez-It Bowl, which gives me access to the entire United States Armed Forces. So now the F-35 is not a worry at all because I have hundreds of thousands of superior planes that get an honest day's work done without costing $100 zillion. With the Air Force, I have 7 Air Force bases in Arizona alone. I can take the entire USAF, every single plane, fill the area, and there's not a single fucking thing on Earth that can hurt me at that point. I have not just the world's best planes. I have military satellites. I have all the electronic warfare. I have 2/3 of the nuclear weapons triad. There is nothing in the world that can harm me at this point because I have the Cheez-It Bowl, which gives me access to the Air Force Falcons. Also in this game, I have Washington State. I'm not letting Mike Leach anywhere near this nuclear weapons triad. We did our bowl watchability, our annual bowl watchability ratings on the Read Option newsletter. Please subscribe. This year, and this game scored very, very highly. I think if I recall correctly, it was either one or two on the list of the highest rated non-New Year's Six games for pretty obvious reasons. You have Air Force, you have Service Academy, Triple Option, Run the Damn Ball, you have Mike Leach, Throw the Damn Ball, and you have the Cheez-It Bowl venue, which has proven to be conducive to insanity, which is all we want out of these sporting events. So that's the football side. Back to the military stuff. We also have Washington State. They're not going to contribute a lot here, and they don't really need to because, again, I have the Air Force. I am now God. But WSU, a top five.
Space Force has you.
Air Force does include Space Force, by the way.
Okay.
He tried to make it sound like Space Force is a whole new thing. No.
Wait, I thought they just like passed a bill creating it. Did they just create a branch of the Air Force?
It's part of the Air Force, yeah.
Like, boring.
Here's the fucked up thing. It already was. The Air Force already had a Space Force, and this dude.
Yeah, it basically wasn't going well.
He just wanted to try and start his own thing, and they're like, oh, sure, boss. Yeah, okay.
Like,
there's already a Space Force.
This brings me dangerously close to saying I agree with our big, wet, awful president, because I'm like, if I were president, absolutely the first thing I would do would be to start a space armada.
So that's the.
But I'd be better at it.
So that's so I'm right that, back that tweet a while ago that was like, he does nothing but hang out with porn stars and eat McDonald's all day, and somehow I hate him.
Jason, what would be the first thing you would do? The first like insane thing you would do as president?
Like insane thing?
Yeah, no, I mean like Holly wanted to start a space armada, which is pretty insane.
Yeah, mine would be space too. We are going hard on space exploration. Like I'm throwing down mandates. I'm doing the JFK shit. We are colonizing
Mars.
Whole ass
in NASA.
Tell you what, I'm going to Mars. I'll lead the way.
Bye.
I will rule Earth from Mars. How fucking awesome is that?
I'm just going to grant Mexico status as our 51st state. Now you're saying, would
what
that mean?
Give them Missouri. No, that's terrible.
Just, yeah, no, they're not going to go. No.
Can we build a wall around
the United
Missouri
Kingdom?
Keep Missouri in?
No, United Kingdom of Mexico and Missouri.
That's it. That's all that's basically what I would offer them. I would just say that, like, they would go, okay. So listen, are we Americans now? I'd be like, no, bro. You're Mexico, but you're part of us. And they'd be like, okay, so do we pay taxes? And I'm like, absolutely not.
So no. you're like, yeah, you're in. You just got to keep an eye on Missouri. That's
no,
the deal.
Yeah, that basically,
we
I want to
keep an eye on those people over there in, I don't know,
Hannibal,
O'Fallon.
I want to basically establish whatever the legal standard is to make Mexico bros. You just come when you want to, just bring some beer, hang out. It's cool. Like that's like that would be. I'd just go to the lawyers and be like, "Can you make it so that it's just cool all the time?" Right?
Yeah.
They're like, so can you just walk? Yeah, just walk across the border, man. It's fine. Can anyone do it? No, just Mexicans.
This is sounding like the war on drugs is about to get real chill.
Super, everything's gonna get chill. They're like, so do we have duties or no, man, just drive it over in a truck.
Yeah,
this is come stay, that's fine. So what about people going back? Just be cool.
I have a story to tell about a friend of mine that is currently taking place right now. I have not heard what has happened to it yet, but by the time this episode airs, it will have resolved itself and you should be able to ask me about it. I have a buddy who works for Fish and Wildlife in Alaska. He has a friend who formerly also worked for the Forest Service there, who is the type of person who will just turn up in Alaska occasionally and like on your doorstep and say, hey, I'm here to stay with you for 3 weeks. Where can I sleep? With just, you know, anyways, it sounds like they have a Spencer, basically. And this guy lives in Atlanta. So my friend has rerouted his flight home to Knoxville for Christmas through Atlanta so that he can turn up on this guy's doorstep the weekend before Christmas and be like, hey, what are we doing? Christmas, huh? He does not know he's coming. And this dude has, there's a lot of guns involved. So I'm actually really interested to see how this transpires. But by the time it happens, we should have maybe caused some kind of diplomatic incident. But yeah, we'll see how this goes.
That's how most bowl games should work. Somebody should just show up. Hey, we're playing.
If I were UCF, this is what I would do at every New Year's Six game.
The debate me coward move.
Mm-hmm.
the last thing I have with the Cheez-It Bowl, Wazoo, top five food science school. They can, if anybody can grow crops in the Arizona desert, it is Wazoo. If not, that's fine, because I got the Air Force. And if nothing else, we can eat the 29 different varieties of Cheez-Its.
That is the one thing, by the way, that I want to find if you can bet an over-under on whether this eclipses last year's 7 interceptions.
It's going to be... I like that because it's going to be 7 Wazoo interceptions. Because Air Force is giving you like one tops.
They might give you one, might give you two, and then Anthony Gordon is going to throw for 11 touchdowns and 8 interceptions.
Let's see.
That'd be 10 total.
That'd Air be Force amazing. Passing attempts per game. We are sitting at 9.5.
This is, I am tasked with, if I'm reading this correctly, I am not Jason, me. I am Spencer.
There's
Spencer.
So much suspense in this moment right now.
Yeah. So I am tasked with giving you
our suits.
Tasked with giving you the first responder bowl.
Yes.
Yes. Nay, the Heart of Dallas bowl at one time. And sponsored by Serve Pro. This is played in the Dallas area. And if I can say, if you've got the chance to visit Dallas in December, you take it. It's when it's at its most enchanting. Just a natural ice maker, right? With the wind blowing across a flat surface that's usually rainy. Flat. Treeless.
Shiny.
Yeah. Shiny yet dull at the same time. Vast yet vast yet crowded. Everything you really want in an experience.
So many kinds of gray.
So many various kinds of gray. Really, a monotone experience interrupted only by the beautiful hues of piles of barbecue you occasionally run into and have to devour in order to continue driving down
piles,
the road.
Like in the road?
Yes. Okay. Big yes. Piles of brisket. You gotta eat them just to get by them. Right? That's how you get Texas strong. This is the game that takes place in Gerald J. Ford Stadium, but not that Gerald Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It no longer takes place. This is my favorite. It takes place at SMU Stadium after taking place at the Cotton Bowl. It's like it couldn't keep up its rent at the Cotton Bowl, right? What are you going to do? I got to move into SMU for a while. Figure some shit out.
I lump this in with the War Bowls because, you know, first responders, they're basically troops, right?
Yeah, I think to a certain kind of brain, yes. Like, EMTs are Green Berets.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
That's no disrespect to EMTs, by the way. Y'all rule. I do think this is somewhat disrespectful to have a first responder and not a second responder. Bull. The second responder being the person who shows up to any situation like, oh man, I was gonna help.
That's the lawyer.
Yeah. The second responder.
This kind of is the second responder because the first responder bowl got canceled by weather.
Yeah. So yeah, you get the second responder bowl, which would be, you know, don't say shit to the cops.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this concept. Let's make this happen. The third responder. Oh man, I slept. We're late. I'm sorry.
I didn't see a damn thing.
Yeah. The no snitching bowl. This is Western Kentucky versus Western Michigan. The current spread is Western Michigan +3.5. If you are interested in wagering, if you are interested in the more practical applications as far as how defensible this is as a site to hold in any military campaign, y'all, it's SMU Stadium. It's open on one end with grass. You're just vulnerable to, like, cavalry could take this. That's why the ponies play there, right? Just ride into the stadium and ride out. It's not looking real good. If you want to hold it. Also, it's in Dallas. No matter who you are, you're outgunned the minute you land. Right? It's people just dropping guns on the street all the time. It's going to be dangerous. Odds aren't good. Also, these are MAC teams. Probably also out, you know, one team, they got a MAC team, then you got Western Kentucky. You're outgunned from the start. So this is looking pretty desperate as far as the strategic situation. But there is this bonus. Withdrawing will be easy because nobody's really ever wanted to hold on to Dallas, right?
Yeah, the sacking of Dallas is.
I'm saying a lot of bad things about Dallas. Y'all have a great gas station there. At least
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, there is a good gas station. The karaoke taco gas station.
The karaoke taco gas station there.
The Pecan Lodge, where the three of us have almost killed ourselves before a long flight.
Yeah, that was really good. I advise you to eat 8 pounds of banana pudding, fried chicken, and barbecue before getting on a plane. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about all I got to say about the Third Pro First Responders Bowl. It's a bad campaign, and nobody really wants to hold the territory it's contested over. So let
you
it go.
You just took my last bowl, right?
It's important to note that WKU, the Hilltoppers.
I'm kidding. I just want to see if you fall for it.
I did.
What happened? What happened?
I told Spencer he took my last bowl.
I was like, no, I double checked.
We do have one leftover bowl here that
Spencer, why don't you take it? It's
listed as leftover a CPU enemy. perhaps that's Spencer. I don't know. It's the military bowl. Ironic. Whoever has this bowl has Annapolis without the Navy, which that's about the most useless thing I can imagine. You have a vulnerable stadium right on the water without a Navy to defend it. You are doomed. You have Northrop Grumman, which is giving you all the stealth bombers that will start being built in like 2025, theoretically. However, I have Air Force, so I have all 20 of them that exist on Earth.
Yeah.
Northrop Grumman is Lockheed without the charm.
Got him.
Sorry.
And the 2019 teams you have are not really particularly good at war. You have Temple, their biggest strength.
That's a church.
You have a church whose biggest strength, according to the Wikipedia.
Owls.
The church, that's okay. Okay, that's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. According to the Wiki academic section, Temple's biggest strength is social studies.
Are they a middle school?
They're a really good middle school.
Yeah.
It's Philadelphia. Come on. The other team in here is UNC, whose academics are more like social studies.
This is what do you want their academics to be? What do you want me to write down on this form? Just tell me what you want me to say is good.
Just tell me what to say.
Yes. That's it. How about you just say, I'm going to put A, B, C, or D. You pick one of them, and that'll be your answer on this year's Scantron.
Yeah, an over-leveraged, otherwise empty Monopoly property sounds like just the thing for Matt Brown to turn up at in the holiday season.
Hey, everybody.
I got to go catch a flight on a B-21 stealth bomber.
I can tell you, I really have enjoyed driving this new stealth bomber that I bought with all that money I got from Texas. I can't park it anywhere, but when you're as rich as I am, you make your own rain.
Doesn't exist, much like Texas's titles since the year 2005.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.